Well, today is one of my favorite days in our church because several years ago we began to do something to start a tradition here at Woodland Baptist, and that is to have individuals, believers from our church come and read what we call the prophecies of Christ. And we've been doing that for, I think since the second year. So I think we've been doing this for 5 years now. And we try to rotate people as we do the candlelight service that we'll have tonight. And it's always really nice to hear the voices of fellow brothers and sisters read the Word of God in the congregation. Would you agree with that? It is. A little nerve-wracking for those that don't like to be behind the pulpit, but there is a great blessing that goes along with reading the Word of God. Plus, it's wonderful for the younger generation to see different people come here and read the Word of God publicly. I can remember the first time I was ever asked to read something publicly in the church. I can remember my whole body went cold for the first few seconds. So I've got to go behind the pulpit and I've got to read scripture in front of how many people? And he said, but Shelby, you just pray about it. You're going to have it beforehand. It's going to be written out on a piece of paper in front of you. All you have to do is take a deep breath and read. And I said, I think I can do that for the Lord once or twice. Then he made me do it every year after that. So I've been doing this for years. It's a wonderful experience, and thank you for those that have agreed to do it. So as I call your name, would you just come up and come sit on this front pew up here in the order of which you were called, and then I'll explain the rest to you. Shelby and Angie Hazard, I'm here. Mark Highsall and Wendy Highsall. Mark is our drummer back there with this beautiful coat and tuxedo tie on today. Doesn't he look wonderful? Go ahead and put it on for us, Mark. There we go. All right. He's ready. All right. Nobody can top that, I can assure you. Then we have Ricky and Denise Sandifer. Would y'all come forth and sit next to Mark and Wendy? And then we have Scott and Janet Manasco. And I think Scott's mother fell, and he is having to caregive for her, so he will not be here this morning. So Janet will read for him. Then we have Randy and Susan Comer. If you'll come sit on the front bench. Then we have Will and Blair Breen. Then we have Chris and Ashley Moyer. And then we have Jim and Pam Mullis. So we've got all kind of folks represented here today. This normally goes really fast. Readers, let me give you some encouragement on what to do here. Is it up there? Okay. What you'll do is when your turn comes to read, just watch me do it. And be sure and read slow. Okay? Because when I was up here, I got like nervous and read really fast. And my dad would always tell me, son, you got to slow down when you read. I can't keep up with you. So slow down and just read very slowly. Now, not like real slowly, but you know what I mean. Just a natural slowness. So I'll begin. Let me pray for us before we begin. And my wife will not be here. She's actually in children's church with about six children, playing with them and teaching them some scripture. So she won't be here. I'll be reading hers. So let us pray together. Father, we thank you for the great privilege to come together in your name, to be reminded on a weekly basis and especially at Christmas time, the wonder of who you are and the miracle of what you've done through your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for the sense that I get every year around this time, just in the when all the leaves are on the ground and when the weather is sometimes not the best, there's just a warmth about this time of year. When I sit in the den in my home and I look at the Christmas tree and I see the lights and the memories of my family, Christmases fill my mind. Lord, it's just so special that we have built such a long tradition around your Son's birth, our Savior. And Lord, I know that in our nation, each year it seems like it's chipped away at by different groups. But Lord, I pray that all of us here today, the old and the young, we will stand firm from year to year, no matter how fierce the persecution may become, and continue to celebrate Christmas for as long as we are here on this earth. That we would read the prophecies, that we would speak of Christ, that we would speak of the apostolic ministry, that we would speak of salvation, that we would speak of Christmas, that we would speak of the second coming, that we would speak of sin and forgiveness, that we would continue to do this year after year after year, no matter what the world may say. And Lord, I thank you so much for these that have come today to read your word in your honor in preparation for your son's birthday. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. All right, well, I'm the first reader, so this is how it'll go. Jesus will come from the line of Abraham. The prophecy is Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, and it says, I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Angie would read, Jesus' mother will be a virgin. The prophecy is chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Okay, Mark, Wendy, would y'all come? We have this microphone on, Caleb. Okay.
Jesus will be a descendant of Isaac and Jacob. Prophecy, Genesis 17, 9. And God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your offspring after you throughout their generations.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. Jesus will be born in Bethlehem. Prophecy, Micah 5, 2. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days.
And all God's people said? Amen. Fantastic. Just so you know, Wendy had the hardest word in all of the readings, Ephrathah. Ephrathah. We still don't know how you say it. Ricky and Denise, would you come? Ricky has the shortest of all readings today. Denise has the longest. Jesus will be a member of the tribe of Judah.
Okay. Jesus will be called out of Egypt. Hosea 11:1. When Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son.
Excellent. All God's people said, amen. Thank you, Sandifers. Next, we have the Manascos, or Manasco. Scott is caring for his mother, is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Jesus will enter the temple. Prophecy, Malachi 3:1. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. Jesus will be in the lineage of David. Prophecy, Jeremiah 23:5. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land.
Very good. Thank you very much. And all God's people said, amen. Eric and Beth couldn't make it today, so I'm going to read theirs. Jesus' birth will be accompanied with great suffering and sorrow. Jeremiah 31:15. Thus says the Lord, a voice is heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel is weeping for her children. She refuses to be comforted for her children because they are no more. Jesus' life, death, resurrection, and ascension. Psalm 22:16, for dogs encompass me, a company of evildoers encircles me, they have pierced my hands and feet. Psalm 16:10, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see corruption. All right, next we have Randy and Susan Comer.
life, death, resurrection, ascension. Psalm 68:18. You ascended on high, leading a host of captives in your train and receiving gifts among men, even among the rebellious, that the Lord God may dwell there.
Jesus is life, death, resurrection, and ascension. Isaiah 53:10-11. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring, he shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous. He shall bear their iniquities.
And all God's people said, amen. Will and Blair Breen, come forward. Will reads first.
Jesus, life, death, resurrection, ascension. Psalms 110:1. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool.
Very good.
Jesus is life, death, resurrection, ascension. 1 Peter 2:21-22. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his footsteps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth.
Very good. And all God's people said, amen. Chris and Ashley Moyer.
Jesus, life, death, resurrection, ascension. Luke 23:33. And when they came to the place that is called the skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left.
Ashley.
Jesus is life, death, resurrection, ascension. Acts 2:29-32. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne.
Yes.
He foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, and that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we all are witnesses.
Very good. And all God's people said? All right, final one, Jim and Pam Mullis.
Jesus is life, death, resurrection, and ascension. Acts 1:9. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight.
Jesus is life, death, resurrection, and ascension. Hebrews 1:3. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high.
Amen. And all God's people said, all right, give all these readers a thank you this morning. Fantastic. I absolutely love that. If you have a Bible, open with me for a few moments this morning to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's begin in verse 12 and go through verse 21. Just want to talk to you just for a few minutes this morning, and then we'll be dismissed. I know that you have a lot of things to do over the next couple of days. And I hope you're excited. Who here is excited about Christmas? Raise your hand. If you're excited about Christmas, hallelujah. I am too. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 12. What was Peter's profession? Let's have a little quiz this morning. What was he before Jesus called him? Fisherman. Outstanding. Outstanding. Therefore, Peter says, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I'm in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me, and I will make every effort so that after my departure you may be able at any time to recall these things. That's what we're doing here today, this Sunday before Christmas. We are being reminded that the God that we serve, the God that we worship, is unlike any other claim to any other God. It's a good place for an amen. We have a book that contains prophecies that were written hundreds and thousands of years before Jesus came into the world. Very few other faiths or very few other religious systems have that claim. There are a very few, but none as thorough and as clear and as documented as the prophecies of the Lord Jesus Christ. So one of the things that Peter did and the apostolic witness did that the Holy Spirit put in their heart was to make absolutely certain that we are reminded about these things on a regular basis. Because if there is one thing humans are prone to do, and especially the male of the species, and I think all of our wives will vouch for that, what do we do a lot of times? Say that louder. We forget. Do we not? How many guys, how many times have your wife told you to do something and you forgot? Raise your hand. Yep. See, thank you. Becky raised Gary's hands for him. And Angie would raise mine for me, I can assure you, because we do. We have a tendency to forget. And the reason why that is because we deal with something called the flesh. We deal with something called being in the world. And as long as we're in the world, we're going to have this pressure, this cultural, worldly pressure on us to stop believing the truth of the gospel, to act like the world, to adopt the world's systems. And therefore, we have this wonderful, inspired book to go to on a regular basis to be reminded who God is and what God has done through Christ. And that's why you hear preachers, if any preacher is worth his salt, he's going to beat into your head week in, week out. Don't take my word for it. Go home, read the Word of God for yourself. Absolutely. Read it, understand it, study it, and pass it down from generation to generation. So the first thing Peter says is, therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities. Now, the qualities that he talks about, we didn't read those passages, but if you go backwards just a little bit, he talks about the divine power granted to us, to all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world, we just talked about that, because of sinful desire. For this reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness. Sounds a lot like what Paul would say in Romans. The godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Then he says, therefore I intend to remind you of these qualities. Though you know them, Peter says, you're established in the truth. I mean, I've told you that clearly. But as long as I'm in this body, Peter says, as long as I'm in the flesh and among you, walking amongst you, being amongst you, as long as I'm in this body, I'm going to stir you up. Now, there's only one problem with that. Do we like to be stirred up? No. We like everything to be on a calm, peaceful, even keel, don't mess with my world. That's what we like. But if there's one thing I'm telling you God wants to do, God wants to mess with your world. He wants that gospel to come into your life, and he wants it to radically change who you are, radically change your family, radically change the way you view the world. He wants to take you from Adam. He wants to take you to Christ. That's what he wants to do. He wants to change your life. And supposedly, many of us have come to faith, have come to belief, and our life has been changed. But the problem is, as Peter has already said, is that we live in this world, and from time to time, we slip into these patterns of worldliness. And so Peter comes and he says, I am reminding you of these things as long as I am in the body. And I will make every effort so that after my departure, what does that mean, after my departure? Where's he going? Yeah, when he dies, right? When he dies and he goes to heaven. After my departure, you may be able at any time, okay, pick up the Bible at any time and open these truths and recall these things. Here's the verses for today for just a few minutes. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For when He received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to Him by the majestic glory, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased, we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with Him on the holy mountain. That's right, the guy who wrote this was one of the guys that was there with Jesus when he saw Jesus transfigured before them. He was the one that heard, this is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased. Peter was there and heard the voice of God say that about Jesus. And we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. That's so important because you got a lot of people saying a lot of crazy stuff today. Okay, but it all comes out of Scripture. I mean, just remember that. Whenever you're watching some wacky preacher on TV preaching a whole bunch of stuff that makes you want to go, yeah, all right, amen, be sure you go back and test it with Scripture. Because there's all kind of goofy stuff that's preached from pulpits today all over the place, especially on TV. And after they preach it, I go back to the Word of God, and I'm like, I have no idea what he's talking about because it's not anywhere in this book. But yet, people amen it like it's God's will. That's called being a false teacher. They're not anchored and rooted in God's Word. And the fact of the matter is that most gospel preachers are really not that entertaining. And they shouldn't be that entertaining. Because I'm not trying to draw you to me. Who am I trying to draw you to? Christ. And so, you know, it's when we go to the Word of God and we preach the Word of God, I mean, I might do something zany and wacky like jump up and down in the pulpit, but that's just to wake you up if you're sleeping or to try to get your attention. But once we do that, we're trying to put you in the Word of God and into the Messiah, Jesus. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This is important for you. If you've got a Bible, you've got a Bible open right now, I want you to star that passage. Put a little asterisk out beside it, or put your little ribbon that you probably might never use. Put it right in there. Let me give you a challenge. Okay, let me give you a challenge over the next few days. When you're together with your families, because I know some of them are not going to be believers, okay? Does everybody has an unbeliever in their family somewhere. When you're around them and you've got a quiet moment, okay, you've got a quiet moment, take your Bible out or take out your smartphone, whatever, and go down to 2 Peter and read the text. Read the text and share it with your family about the God you serve. You never know. Oh, they're not going to ever believe. They're not, Brother Shelby, that's a waste of time. They're never going to believe. You have no idea about that. That's not your call to make that decision. It's not. God tells you and tells me, as believers, His fellow children, that we are to be evangelistic and we are to be disciplers in our mindset about the world. We teach and we speak the gospel, and those that reject it, reject it, and those that accept it, accept it, accept it. And we really don't know when that time may come. You may have had somebody that has rejected the gospel when you shared it with them 15 times, but guess what? On the 16th time, guess what happens? They accept it. You don't know. And yeah, they might get an attitude with you and say, you know, take your religion somewhere else. You know, I don't really care to hear that Bible. Put that Bible up. I don't care to hear about your Jesus with all these faiths in the world. You Christians, you're so arrogant to think that your way is the only way. What's your comeback there? We didn't say that. I didn't say that. Then you open the Bible to John chapter 14. You said, Jesus is the one that said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Don't necessarily say it like I just said it to you. You understand that, right? Say it peacefully and gentle, but I'm not saying that. Jesus is saying that. Jesus Christ is the one that makes that claim. So if you want to reject that and believe all those other things, just know that you're rejecting the one that the Scripture says was sent for you to die for you and heal you from your sins forever and reconnect you in a relationship to God forever. The reason why we have this Christmas tree in this house, these pretty lights on it, the presents underneath it, is because He came as a free gift for all. And because even unbelievers in the world benefit from His grace. Even unbelievers in the world benefit from Christmas, do they not? Unbelievers in the world benefit from the rain, do they not? Unbelievers in the world benefit from the sun, do they not? They benefit from all the groceries stacked up in Kroger, do they not? Play that card with them. The only reason why you have the very breath that you breathe is because God allows you to have it. The only reason why you have the job you have is because God allows you to have it. He is the sustainer of all things. He is God. We did not follow cleverly devised myths, although it is certainly fun to watch a Bigfoot special every now and then. Amen? How many of you think He's real? Raise your hand. Okay. Thank God. I don't think He's real. We did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. One other thing I'll tell you. There's an imaginary world and there's a real world. And I'm completely fine with both worlds. There's an imaginary world that is healthy. There's an imaginary world that is dark. And I'm okay with the imaginary world that's good. I'm okay with that. I'm not okay with the imaginary world that's dark. And one thing we need to be absolutely certain is when our children become the age of when their understanding of reality is the most important, okay, when they're little bitty kids, it's okay. But when they begin to get older, they need to know that there's a difference between Jesus and the imaginary. My big concern is comic book heroes, right? Superman, Iron Man. I mean, who here has read a comic book before? Raise your hand. Don't be bashful. We've all read comic books. But there's a difference in this imaginary fantasy world that we find in video games and that we find in the comic book racks and the real world of the supernatural Christ. And we just need to be sure that our children and the younger generation is not getting that mixed up. There is no Iron Man. There is no Superman. There is no Hulk. But there is. There is a Christ that came and that died and that came back to life and came up out of that grave in a body unlike anything we've ever known. And we need to be absolutely positive that we delineate those two for our culture. Because if there's one thing I'm scared of, just seeing my own children and just youth today, they are captivated. I mean, they are captivated by this imaginary fantasy world of video games. Have y'all seen this? I mean, look, a little bit's okay. I'm not opposed to a little bit of that. I'm not opposed to a little bit of that. But when they would rather be doing that than socializing with real people, now they'll tell you what, well, there's real people connected to this game like, you know, in Alabama somewhere that I've never met. Well, yeah, but you've got people right here in your own neighborhood. You've got people that live right across your street. You've got family members that live right over here that have not seen from you or heard from you in months, but yet you're going to spend all this time on this video game talking to this person you're probably never going to meet. I mean, that's just weird. And like I said, don't hear me, parents. I know it's out there everywhere. You don't think I'll deal with it at home? It's okay to have a little bit of that. It's okay. It's not okay for their life to be completely consumed by it to where they would rather do that than step foot outside the house. I told y'all the story about a man I knew. I think I told it 2 or 3 years ago here. Guy I went to college with, Cleveland, Mississippi. Obviously, I'll keep this anonymous, but he stood to inherit a very large business, very large business. And when it passed on to him early before his parents died, they trying to bring him in and do the right thing, he got ensnared by Warcraft. Y'all know what this video game is? Well, he got completely enamored with this game called Warcraft. So much, he quit going to work. He stayed home nonstop for hours and hours a day playing Warcraft nonstop. He played it so much that he lost his family. And then after his family left him over this situation, because I'm sure there was a whole lot more to it than just him playing the game, because there's people connected to this and they put on this armor and stuff, and it goes way further than anything I've ever dreamed of in my life. Then after that happened, then guess what happened? Not only lost his family, he lost a multi-million dollar business about 6 to 8 months later. All because he was addicted to a fantasy make-believe video game. It is rampant in our society. I don't so much worry anymore about people buying into evolution and Darwinism anymore as much as I do people defining themselves in this make-believe fantasy world video game arena. I'm more concerned about that than I really am people buying into evolutionary philosophy. It is consuming the minds of our people. Consuming the minds. And so, where do you come to this, preacher, from the text? We do not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you have ever looked at these video games and see what they do, it's all about sorcery, it's all about power, it's all about darkness, most of it is. And so they don't even realize that they're buying into a cleverly devised myth and allowing the reality of Jesus in their life to pass them right by. And of course, the argument is, but I witnessed to people on that video game. Really? How in the world do you do that? While you're creeping around through the doorways and going through the passages and fighting the big, huge monsters, you're professing Christ to them right before you die, dressed up in an avatar? I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't know how anybody would take you serious that way in the midst of a video game. How would they take you serious that way? I could be wrong. I hope I am. But I've never seen it work. So what I'm asking you and what I'm challenging you to do is to be real this Christmas. Okay? I know you're going to get Christmas presents. I know you're going to be excited about them and you know you're going to be fired up about it. But you're going to have real human beings around you. Real human beings around you that you're related to that you probably don't see that often. And some of them are headed straight to hell because they don't know Christ. So instead of being so consumed in a fantasy dream world, while they're there, let's pull back out of the fantasy dream world and let's take Christ and try to penetrate hearts. Can you amen that? A little louder, please. Thank you. We do not follow cleverly devised myths. We follow Christ, the Son of God. He is real. He came, He died, and He came back to life and came out of that tomb. It is not fantasy. It is not a dream. It is reality. Let us pray. Father, we're so thankful to you for the multitude of ways that you bless us. And Lord, we know that materialism will always be a problem. It will always be there. It will always have a tendency and be a temptation to captivate our hearts away from the truth of who Jesus is. But Father, I pray that this Christmas season, over the next several days when we are together with all of our loved ones, some of them have been watching us for years in the way we practice our faith and claim to be Christians. And one of the things they may be thinking in their life is that, yeah, so-and-so claims to be a Christian, but I never see anything different about them at all. They seem to be exactly like everybody else around this time of year. And Lord, all I'm asking for myself and for my family and for those of us that are gathered here today, when we leave this place today and we go into our lives over the next several days, is to show the world something different. Show them something different. Show our families something different. Let them see it. Let them see. Let them know. Let them understand that while they're in our presence, while we are in their bodily presence, as Peter was saying, as I am with you bodily, while I am here bodily, I am going to engage you. I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to be interested in your life. I'm not going to isolate myself and sit in front of a screen for hours on end when I am around you. You're going to see Christ in my eyes. You're going to hear Christ in my words. You're going to sense Christ in my life. We're going to let those that are in our presence, we're going to let them know that the tree and the gifts represent something, represent a blessing, and represent something much, much, much larger than that. And Lord, we're so excited about this time of year. I get so excited about it, Lord, so excited. We thank you so much for your love for us. But we know that there's so many hurting, dear God, and we pray that you help us to be sensitive to it, dear God. Help us to remember that we do not follow cleverly devised myths. We follow and we believe and we practice the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ in all that we do. And we ask this in His name. Amen.